Welcome to Federal Insights, sponsored by HackerOne on Federal News Network.
The Defense Department has been a pioneer in the use of ethical hacking and bug bounty programs to discover cybersecurity flaws in its own systems. For a review and for what they're planning in ethical hacking, I spoke with the director of the Vulnerability Disclosure Program in the Cybercrime Center at the Defense Department, Chris Johnson. Why don't we start in the beginning? Because I always think of the bug bounty ethical hacking program, whatever you want to call it, as something that originated with DOD. I could be wrong on that, but you have a pretty deep history there.
Yeah, so, you know, I would say that the DOD has been a really big player. I don't know if we can claim first through the gate, but I mean, obviously, you know, the idea of hacking itself is, you know, it's been around for decades. You know, it was really kind of coined in the 90s by IBM. We saw a really big rise in popular culture, you know, certainly back in the early 80s with the 2600 Hacker Quarterly, you know, manual that they would publish. I think they still publish it today, actually, even in paper. And obviously the movies like War Games and Hackers and Swordfish, you know, made it sexy and interesting for a regular person to consume. But a lot of that was really kind of on the black hat side. When you look at the white hat, that really, obviously, it's probably less of a it's probably less of a interesting movie or interesting script, right? I totally went and I found vulnerabilities and we secured the system and nothing happened, right? So I don't know if they're going to get a Michael Bay explosion movie out of it, but you know, certainly with the white hat, a lot of companies in the game. You know, obviously we saw Microsoft and Apple start to roll in on that in the very early 2000s. And the DOD, although we've been a tremendous adopters of it, you know, we didn't really enter the space until 2016. So, but I think that there's you know, obviously there's a lot of movement, certainly in what OMB refers to as coordinated vulnerability disclosure. That's the overall umbrella that covers both your bug bounties and your vulnerability disclosure programs. The big difference, the bug bounties pay money, the VDPs pay reputation points. And those reputation points then kind of build in the white hat hackers' online resume, their street cred, if you will, and then they get recognized by those that will pay money for it. So it's a great way to go and kind of cut your teeth in the vulnerability disclosure or just in general security research.
And how does it tend to work operationally? Is it by application? Is it by program office? Is it by platform in the DOD? Because there's a lot of different ways to cut at the vulnerabilities, and all of them are connected in some way or another in systems. So how does it tend to operate?
So when we look across the DOD, we have obviously we're very much of a rank and structure organization, which we're not as calling us flat would be hilarious. I mean, obviously we're very tiered, right? So what you mentioned is obviously a challenge for an organization like us, where you have, you know, 64 different departments and agencies under the DOD roof, right? And it's challenging. However, we do have an organization, pardon the long acronym, but it's the Joint Force Headquarters Department of Defense Information Network, or JFHQ DOTIN. They, at the end of the day, they own and are responsible for all of the networks, and they fall under U.S. Cyber Command, right? But they are the network owners. That makes it easy, because now we have a single belly button. In turn, we've taken a really, I think, a very smart approach to how we do VDPs, in that we only have a single front door for the researchers to come to. So they don't need to go and discover who owns the website, you know, who manages it. Obviously, sometimes it's hard for us, right? I mean, to even figure some things out, especially when you add cloud hosted solutions in there. Sometimes it's challenging, right? So so we provide as easy as experience as possible for the researchers. So they just come and they report, and then we do the heavy lifting and all the legwork in partnership with JFHQ DOTIN to figure out who the heck owns these websites. That's how we make it work.
And is all of the ethical hacking, I guess that's a third word for it maybe, done against websites, or do you also have people look at blocks of code or applications from a standpoint of someone at a keyboard and someone else is at a keyboard, and that scenario, almost like the competitions.
Yeah, it's a good question. So up until actually yesterday, so fortuitous that I'm here to speak with you today, really up until yesterday, the policy for VDP, which is how we provide legal safe harbor for these security researchers or ethical hackers or white hat researchers or whatever term you feel comfortable using for the day, that policy has always been public facing DoD websites. So from November 21st, 2016, and literally until yesterday afternoon, that was what they could do research on and report. So obviously it limits the aperture for what we can take. Now we could take it, but once again, you know, it's a partnership, and we provide that legal safe harbor against the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act so that they can operate with the understanding that no one's going to come kick down their door, right? Come after them for either civil or criminal litigation that we would protect them, obviously.
Yeah, that's an important point, because there have been cases where people were trying to do good, but they were technically in violation of one of those laws. And, you know, the response was, well, thank you for discovering this. Now you're under arrest.
Right. So no good deed goes unpunished. And obviously, that's always a concern for us. I mean, obviously, you know, we're an agency of the Department of Defense, but also we advocate for the security researcher because we know we know how perilous their feeling could be. And we want them to know that as long as they stay within the scope, right? So within the scope that we have published. So our rules of engagement are pretty simple. We tell you what you're able to do research on, and it's kind of a three-legged milk stool, if you will. So they can discover, they can test, and then they must report. If they do that, and we're going to operate in good faith with them, right? And I'm pretty proud to say that we'll be coming up on our fifth year of operation here in November, and we haven't had a single incident where a researcher has been found to go above and beyond, you know, that, or have violated the policy. So I think it's really good. As of yesterday, it's not just DoD websites. So really excited that we are launching into the legal term is all publicly accessible information systems. So if it is a system that they can get to basically from their home or from a public space, obviously no physical penetration, you know, there's not a lot to, you know, jump a fence at Fort Meade, but from where they're at, everything's pretty much in game. So if they can, it's a see something, say something. If they see something, they can report it, and we're going to be able to process it.
Chris Johnson, director of the Vulnerability Disclosure Program in the Cybercrime Center at the Defense Department. We'll return with more of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
Don't fear hackers. Hire them. That's what the DoD did. Meet HackerOne, the world's most trusted hacker-powered security platform. HackerOne gives organizations access to the largest community of hackers on the planet to find their vulnerabilities before adversaries can. Armed with the most robust database of vulnerability trends and benchmarks, the hacker community mitigates cyber risk by searching, finding, and safely reporting real-world security weaknesses in your digital supply chain, networks, apps, devices, and more. Learn more at HackerOne.com.
Welcome back to our interview with Chris Johnson, director of the Vulnerability Disclosure Program in the Cybercrime Center at the Defense Department. Our topic is hacking for cybersecurity and what's ahead for this practice. Let me ask you this. In the course of conducting these types of penetration testing and hacking and so forth, do you use any intermediaries to manage it all? Is there a vendor required, or how does that work?
So we have taken the option that, you know, a lot of security researchers, a lot of the ones that are getting into it, they feel very comfortable, one, not dealing directly with the federal government, right? So, you know, and maybe it's best for the federal government that we don't deal directly with you know, the security researcher community when it comes to that. So we have chosen a third-party platform. Currently today, we use HackerOne. They are the vendor that they host the front page. And then HackerOne provides not just the web portal, but they do obviously a lot of analytics on what we get, and they're our main repository. And it works out well. When there's issues, we can go to Hacker One rather than, you know, once again, no one wants, you know, the Department of Defense knocking on your door. We can work with the vendor to help. Now, behind the scenes, obviously, I have my own team, right? So up to today, I think within probably this next week, we'll have crested 30,000 vulnerabilities reports submitted. So I have to have my own team, obviously internal, to manage that, and we have a lot of good, not just good people, but good tools to be able to do that on our side.
All right, so you've got a big pile of needles to go through to find the haystack or something, or haystack to find the needles. But give us a sense of some of the big discoveries you've had so far in the history of this. You say it goes back to 2016. You must keep kind of a log of the big kills. So what are the antlers on the wall there so far since 2016?
Yeah, and we've had a lot of them. So actually, you know, it's probably more stacks of needles and then we find the hay. 70% of everything that we get reported, so almost 21,000 vulnerabilities are actionable, meaning that it requires somebody to do something in the DoD to fix. I think that's an important thing. So we're finding probably less needles or less hay and more needles, if you will. When it comes to those big, our trophy room, if you will, there's a lot, right? And some we can talk about and some that we can't. Some that have been reported on, obviously, since we've opened was the AMRDEC safe. It's AMRDEC, and SAFE stands for Safe Access File Exchange. So we have a researcher who works with us regularly named Jack Cable. He's a student out of Stanford. Also, I think the youngest person ever in the DoD came in and worked for the Defense Digital Service. Youngest person ever have a security clearance in the federal government. I think it was 17 at the time. And he found that, and it was a pretty amazing one where you know, we have I have emails from, you know, we'll say a lot of agencies across the board were using that to send, you know, up large files. And unfortunately, once we found out that it was safe in name only, it wasn't that safe. They closed it down for a period of time in October. It was November of 2018.
I imagine anything with the word transfer in the name is going to be attractive to people that have bad intent.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously, the good news about VDP is, you know, we're a pre-attack or a pre-exploitation service, right? So we try to find things before they go boom, so left of boom, and that's where we try to stay at. With this case, there was, you know, hundreds of thousands of packages that were vulnerable that we were able to successfully and safely secure before anything happened, which is great. Another one is we had just, I believe it was in 2019, we discovered a cryptocurrency miner that was sitting in an Amazon Web Service cloud for one of our agencies, and that itself was pretty interesting. One, that we discovered it; two, that it was in a cloud environment, and three, we're able to close it down. But you know, obviously, we have, you know, I couldn't even begin to tell you from a Pulse Secure VPNs in 2019, last year, the big one was, you know, our Cisco ASA and FTD vulnerabilities. It's been quite an interesting ride, and we're always surprised at new things coming with our scope expansion. I fully anticipate that'll get even more interesting.
Yeah, and so in many ways, some of the discoveries that you have had then are beneficial not just to the Defense Department, but to maybe anyone else using, say, AWS or Cisco and so on, because they would have the same common vulnerabilities.
Absolutely. And obviously, you know, being a federal cyber center, one of our main goals is data sharing, right? So we are trying to elevate the knowledge and the awareness for the entire community. And I don't mean just the DoD, but we try to elevate our other federal partners, the defense industrial base, so the companies that we may be helping or supporting. So what we do is we put out a monthly Bug Bites. It's our report. We put out a monthly report to show current trends in the vulnerabilities that we're seeing in the DoD to hopefully, once again, increase awareness and help them in their mission to secure their own system. So it's a community, we'll say it's a community project.
Chris Johnson, director of the Vulnerability Disclosure Program in the Cyber Crime Center at the Defense Department. We'll return with the third and final segment of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
Don't fear hackers. Hire them. That's what the DoD did. Meet HackerOne, the world's most trusted hacker-powered security platform. HackerOne gives organizations access to the largest community of hackers on the planet to find their vulnerabilities before adversaries can. Armed with the most robust database of vulnerability trends and benchmarks, the hacker community mitigates cyber risk by searching, finding, and safely reporting real-world security weaknesses in your digital supply chain, networks, apps, devices, and more. Learn more at HackerOne.com.
Welcome back to the third and final segment of our interview with Chris Johnson, director of the Vulnerability Disclosure Program in the Cyber Crime Center at the Defense Department. We've been discussing ethical hacking and its uses in cybersecurity and beyond. Where do you see this going? You mentioned that the program has just now expanded to all publicly accessible information systems at DoD. I want to get back to those, some of those internal systems or some of the, I don't know, control systems, command and control systems, or weapons platform systems. Do you envision that type of system being subject to bug bounties or to VDPs?
So to clearly differentiate, so the Defense Digital Service, they run the Hack the Pentagon program for the DoD. So they run the bug bounty side. DC3, we run the VDP side. So to differentiate those two,
sure.
they're two separate missions. DDS has already been in that space, right? They've already done like F-15s and 3D printers and so on. So they're kind of already looking into that space. When it comes to a VDP, obviously the challenge is you're going to want to bring these researchers in, and you're going to want to allow them on your networks, which isn't that big of a deal. But today we don't currently do like background checks for our researchers. I mean, you can go and sign up for an account tomorrow, and if you find something, you can report it, and that's fine. So it would be challenging. That being said, though, security research, I mean, there's a lot of opportunities moving forward. First of all, Internet of Things, right? So, you know, we're at, just under 9 billion IoT devices. I mean, that number is supposed to go to 25. I've seen estimates of 30 billion by 2030. That's a lot of little devices on the wire that run proprietary software and protocols that are, to me, it's a target-rich environment for this. You look at like the Florida water plant hack, right? That's more of like your critical infrastructure. Certainly, if there was a VDP set up and that was discovered as one of those vulnerabilities, it could have been fixed. I'm not saying that, you know, that was at fault. I'm giving examples, right? So certainly critical infrastructure is important to us. The energy grid. So we continually have a lot of great discussions with Department of Energy and all of these agencies under the DHS CISA umbrella. They all are actually charged to have their systems within a VDP by September of next year, so 2022.
And can you envision this type of program working outside of cybersecurity within either the DDS or the VDP program that you operate? That is to say, usability or some other aspect of the software that might be testable, where you need objective eyes on it other than your own. Again, branching beyond cyber, is that something that you've thought about?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've already had conversations with the Air Force Chief Information Security Officer, and we are actually evaluating today what would it look like to have a VDP in the software development lifecycle. So in the Air Force software development centers, what would it be like to have a piece of software that's being written, to pull it out and to run it in a VDP for a set period of time, to have a DevSecOps, so your actual development security operations lifecycle, injecting a VDP at that point. It's something that we're looking at, and it's very interesting. Once again, it's not something that has ever been done, so we're going to take it a little bit slow. But I think we may see that in the future.
Got it. Yeah, especially as people go into this continuous development mode, there's a lot of ways to check things, and that could actually head off, I imagine, vulnerabilities, getting back to cyber, down the line, if you catch them early in the development process. That's always kind of been the holy grail, is to develop software securely.
Absolutely. So, you know, I'll give you another really great example too. So there was a website that for the entire DoD that really controls the majority of the personal finances for the members. So your paychecks, your W-2s, W-4s. you know, that website was redone and it was put out, and our security researcher found 5 critical vulnerabilities within the first 24 hours of that newly designed website coming. And we could do everything from obviously change usernames and passwords to actually having the post office physically mail your password to any address that you wanted. So we worked with them obviously over the weekend to take that website down and to redesign it. That's a bad news. It would have been a bad news story, but we caught it. We caught it before it got bad. If you could have involved a VDP early on, you certainly could have staged that website with no data behind it, allow the researchers or even dummy data, allow the researchers to come in and pick it apart. We know that they have a different approach, right? They're trying to not secure things, but they're trying to break things. And as a cybersecurity mindset, it's a completely different way. It's a completely different approach, different methodology. They use different tools and tactics. And I think that is a really important part of a cybersecurity, of a holistic cybersecurity approach.
And a final question, all of this activity over time generates data. And you mentioned that your contractor, HackerOne, does some analytics and data gathering. What are the kinds of data that these programs generate, and how can they be useful as you predict what's going to happen in the future?
So prediction is tough. We do see trends, right? So we do see trends. Certainly with like the Pulse Secure VPN vulnerability that came out in 2019, what a VDP saw, so for the DoD, 2 days after that presentation at Black Hat, we saw our first report. And those reports continued to come in hot and fast over that next week. So that was a data analyst who identified that trend up front, and who was able to move forward. We're also able to take a look at our data, and we had Carnegie Mellon Software Engineering Institute to perform a study on our data a few years ago, and that study was looked at the average or mean time from when a public exploit is available on the internet to when we receive our first reports to the VDP. And what we know is it's about 48 hours. It's about an average of 48 hours for like the top 75% of those vulnerabilities. So we know that we're able to find things very quickly. And obviously, you know, trends are good. And you know, our whole goal, our whole intent is to get these vulnerabilities discovered and mitigated as fast as possible. So any information that we can use to enlighten not just the folks downrange. Another great example, you know, we've seen a lot of oddly enough, a lot of like unconfigured printers that are routable online. So getting with those agencies, we see those trends, and then taking that information and then letting others know. You know, the other interesting thing, obviously, your CVEs which are very specific software weaknesses. They only comprise about 20% of VDP's overall volume. That means that 80% are your CWEs or your common weakness enumerations, which are just really at times could just be poor security practices, changing default usernames and passwords. But we will start to see as like new software or new devices or new platforms come out, we'll start to see these things being rolled out at times that may have a CWE that is just vulnerable. So getting and having an enterprise approach is really important.
Chris Johnson, director of the Vulnerability Disclosure Program in the Cybercrime Center at the Defense Department. To hear this interview again or share it with colleagues, please visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights, sponsored by HackerOne on Federal News Network.
Don't fear hackers. Hire them. That's what the DoD did. Meet HackerOne, the world's most trusted hacker-powered security platform. HackerOne gives organizations access to the largest community of hackers on the planet to find their vulnerabilities before adversaries can. Armed with the most robust database of vulnerability trends and benchmarks, the hacker community mitigates cyber risk by searching, finding, and safely reporting real-world security weaknesses in your digital supply chain, networks, apps, devices, and more. Learn more at HackerOne.com.